the comb. He's all that my hungering spirit needs. I'd rather have Jesus and let him lead than to be the king of a vast domain, or be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. Brother Mike Patterson, you come. Appreciate again, Brother Patterson, being here. You come and preach what God's laid on your heart tonight. Hallelujah.
What time is it?
Preaching time.
Amen.
Amen.
Well, praise the Lord. Did y'all have a good afternoon?
Amen.
How many of you got a nap today? Man, I went out. What time did you get me back here, preacher?
3:05.
Around 3 o'clock. I got my chair about 3:15 and looked at something for about 2 minutes. My eyes got heavy. I didn't wake up until 5:30. Man, I was out hard. That chair is very comfortable, amen. It's more comfortable than my bed, hallelujah. Jeremiah chapter 6 with me this evening, please. The book of Jeremiah and chapter 6 in your Bible is Jeremiah and chapter 6.
I got one,
but I'll probably have another one, brother. I'm thirsty. Thank you so much. I just began to wonder what you put in that when you're so nice to me. Yeah. Oh, trust me, I'll try not to. Jeremiah chapter 6. And it's good to be in the house of God, amen. It's good to just come to worship the Lord together. And I enjoy church services. I enjoy being in the house of God. I even enjoy it, Pastor, when I'm not the one preaching, amen. I enjoy hearing other preachers, and I enjoy just being with God's people. And this church has sort of grown special to us over the years. We've gotten to know you folks, and it's always a joy to feel like you come home, you know. And in fact, I know people in your church better than I do people in my own church, brother, amen. Our church has changed faces so often over the years that there's only just a handful of people in our church that we even know, because we're just never there, you know. And then when we do get back, there are some people on vacation. A pastor said, well, did you meet, what's your name? Nah, they weren't there when I was there, preacher, you know. And he says, well, they've been coming for about 3 or 4 years. Yeah, well, they hear I'm coming, they leave every year, I think, is what it is, amen. But the Lord is good. It's good to be in the house of God today with you. Jeremiah chapter 6, I'm going to ask if you'd stand with me. I'm just going to read a couple of verses here, verse 16 and verse 17. And a very familiar portion of Scripture to you, no doubt, in my mind. He says, verse 16 of this text, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. Well, I tell you, it's a dangerous thing right there, amen, for a believer to say, we're not going to do you what you want us to do, God. We're just going to go our own way. He said, verse 17, also I set watchmen over you, saying, hearken unto the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not hearken. Boy, not to listen to God, not to walk in God's ways, a dangerous, dangerous thing for you and for me. We need to make sure we're on the same side that God's on, amen. And how's that song go? We're on the what side? The winning side, amen. Father, thank you for your precious word now, and I pray, God, you'd use it tonight again. Speak to our hearts, Lord. We just ask you to draw us close to you. And Father, again, I know I don't have anything new to say, Father. Just try to preach and reinforce what's been said here all these years, dear Lord, from this pulpit here in this church in Dresden, New York. Father, just help us to encourage one another. Help me to try to be an encouragement, a challenge tonight, Father. And I pray that you'd have the honor and glory now in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You may be seated. As you said, now I'm going to take myself a sip of water. Amen. Thank you. Jeremiah 16, or chapter 6, verse 16 and verse 17. I've got a message I'd like to speak to you this evening for a few moments. In fact, if I used to bring CDs in here, preacher, so if you ever picked up one of my CDs, I've had these on there. You might have heard this message before, you know. I don't know. If you have, you hear it again, amen. I had a fellow one time, he told me, he says, do you have any new CDs out? I said, no, I haven't done a CD in another one in a couple of years. I had about 15 or 20 of them, you know. And he says, well, let me buy some of the old ones again. I said, why? He said, I wore the other ones out. I said, well, you already wore them out once. Why, you know, and if you can't get new ones, why do you want them? He said, well, I got to have something to listen to keep me awake on the way to work at midnight. Amen. So I pray. If that's all they do for you, hallelujah. Amen. I'm glad. Well, Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 16 to 17. I'd like to preach the subject I've written down here. What brings revival? I think every evangelist probably has a prescription for revival in their ministry, what they believe will bring revival in your life and maybe in their own life. And I think there's many different things that we could say about revival, amen. And you know as well as I do, I've said it here before, that revival does not happen just because you have an evangelist come into the pulpit. Revival doesn't happen if you have just because you have a revivalist come in. I have a friend that says, I'm not an evangelist. He says, I'm a revivalist. I said, praise the Lord, amen. We're all on the same page, isn't that right? And revival doesn't have just because you say you're going to have revival. It doesn't have come just because you put a sign out front that says revival meetings, you know, or advertised on the internet. It doesn't mean that you're going to have revival just because you have those things out or have them happen. But there are some things in the scripture I think can help us. I think if we go in the right direction, if you look here, Israel, in this text about getting ready to deal with the 70-year captivity, and Jeremiah tells him, he said, boy, he said, listen, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in ways and see, and ask for the old paths. Now stand there, he says, stand ye in the ways and see. And there's a comma after that word see, and I want to stop there. We could preach on thus saith the Lord. You could preach for a moment on standing in the ways, and then we could preach on and see. So I want to stop there with the ways for just a little bit, standing in the ways. And the idea here is the idea I wrote down in see is the idea of examination. Otherwise, I don't know what is in your heart. Amen. And you don't know what is in my heart. We get a pretty good indication sometimes, Pastor, by talking to people and talking to Christians and talking to preachers and talking to deacons and talking to Sunday school teacher, what's in their heart. If you sit down with somebody maybe for a half hour, you can get a pretty good determination about what direction they're going. But you know, many preachers have even fooled many people over the years, amen. And let me say this carefully, but even many good Baptist preachers have fooled pastors. You would think they were good, amen, but have fooled many people over the years, no longer serving the Lord, no longer in the ministry, and but yet they were good men, and no doubt saw people saved underneath their ministry at one time or another, but went off the stray, went off the wrong way, went off in the wrong direction. And what he talks about here, when he says standing in the ways and see, I got the idea of examination. Standing in the ways. Here's a thought. It's coming like to a place in a road where you have to either take a right hand or left. You can no longer continue in the same direction. Sometimes you come up to I was in Maine one time with a couple of preacher friends of mine. Don Merrick was with me, and the pastor's I can't remember who was sitting in the front seat, and the pastor's in the back seat, and Don Merrick's in the back seat of the little Dodge Intrepid I had one time, and we're going back to the pastor's house, and I think Ray Ovett maybe was in the front with me, I can't remember, and the pastor says, now up here, Mike, you're going to come over this next little hill, and you're going to have to slow down because there's a rough right-hand turn. And I would listen to him, and he says, now, up here, you're going to have to slow down. He said, because you're coming up on the hill, and there's a crossroad, and people don't stop a lot of times like they're supposed to, so watch out there. And I did, and then I get down, and I come on the other side of these trees, and he didn't say, now, Brother Mike, when you come over this next hill, there's a stop sign right there. He didn't say you have to slow up. And man, I come over this next little hill, I'm doing probably like Brother Tracy coming to church tonight, amen. And and I'm probably at least clipping on a 50 mile an hour road, probably clipping at least 50, 55 maybe 60, probably more like 55. The ladies are behind us in a car, and I come up over this little rise, and there's a stop sign. There's a milk truck coming this way, and he saw me. He just saw me coming. He just stopped. And I shot out across that road into the farmer's field. There was no way I was stopping. And I saw that truck. So when I got here and saw that truck, he saw me. I stepped on it, man. Vroom, out across that and hit out in that field and turned in that farmer's field this way, come back up on the road and wave at the guy in the milk truck on the way by. Yeah, I could almost see his face. You know, and we just took the preacher. So he said, "Man, you like to scare us half to death." I said, "Well, brother, listen, if we got hit, I'm going to heaven. How about you? Amen." Just say, "I'm all right." Amen. Don Merritt scared that man, poor man, half to death. Amen. His hair came off his head. I'm telling you. I love Brother Merritt. Amen. He was quite a character. And so when you get there, you got to just make a decision, examination. There's an examination that ought to take place in your life when you read the Word of God. Examination ought to take place in your life when you hear the Word of God preached. Examination ought to take in your life when you hear the Word taught, amen, and the Lord starts to speak to your heart. There's self-examination that has to take place. Go to 1 Corinthians in chapter 11 with me. 1 Corinthians in chapter 11. And over in 1 Corinthians in chapter 11, I want to look down, if you would please, down to about verse 27, somewhere around there. Chapter 11 of the book of 1 Corinthians, and down to verse 27, where he says this. He says, he's talking here about the Lord's table, amen, up to this point. And then he makes a stipulation as he talks about the Lord's table. He says, "Wherefore," in verse 27, whosoever, I'll get this, shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily, shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let him, now, who, by the way, who's unworthy to start with? Those who are not saved, number one. Who's another one that's unworthy? I think he sort of explains that here as we look at it. I think those who are in direct, I'm talking about not, you know, we all do dumb stuff sometimes. We all say things. That's not what he's talking about. Those who have made a decision in their life to live a lifestyle that's so inconsistent with the Word of God. Maybe, Pastor, you wouldn't recognize you were a born-again believer if you talked to them, you know. And he, don't take it. He says, you're walking unworthy of the things of God. He says, shall be unworthy, shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man, what? Examine himself, he says. And so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. And that idea of sleep there is death. So he said, many are weak among you, many are sickly among you, and sometimes it's weak spiritually, amen, if we look at it in that direction. But sometimes it's weak physically, because people have just, I'm not saying just because you've been sick or that you, because you're not, you know, because you're just old, Bill, what can we say, amen? But just because of where you're at doesn't mean that you're living wicked. But he's making a distinction here for the born-again believer, those who are saved by the grace of God. And there needs to be an examination. Let a man so examine himself, for the believer, the born-again one, the saved one. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 13, over in 2 Corinthians in chapter 13 with me. 2 Corinthians in chapter 13. He makes this statement, 2 Corinthians chapter 13, down to verse 5. He says, examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. And well, I like what Paul says here to the church of Corinth. Examine yourselves whether ye be, make sure you know that you're saved. He says, examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith, prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, so that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates. If he was not in you, you would be a reprobate. Amen. It's all Jesus Christ. But examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. And I don't know if you've ever done that. I think sometimes maybe we have all done that at one time or another. We've done something maybe we shouldn't have, or thought something in a mannerism inconsistent, or did something years ago when we were first saved, and maybe we went back years later, maybe we thought, you know, Am I really born again? You know, I'm not saying to doubt yourself. I'm saying he says, examine yourself. Make sure you know that you're saved. I don't have a question about my salvation. I know I'm saved. Amen. And you ought to know that you're saved. And if you don't know it, if you have a question about that, my friend, wouldn't it be a good thing just to get that settled? Amen? Amen. Just get it settled once and for all and know for sure that you have eternal life by the grace of God and what he's done. We have a grandson that just went to camp, pastor, and said at camp that, who knows? You know, the Lord does a lot of things at camp, and sometimes kids make decisions because of emotions and stuff, you know. And he said that he believed he was called to preach, but he said what bothered him a lot was that he wasn't sure if he was saved. You know, and he got saved when he was little, and he remembers the day, remembers the time, remembers going talking to his mom, but he doesn't remember what he did, you know. And so he came back and he told his mom and his dad, and they sat there, and his dad led him to the Lord sitting there, you know, because he wanted to make sure. And then the very next day, his sister wanted to make sure. I think it was the next day, it was the same night, not the next day, right? I think. His sister wanted to make sure. She, you know, there's nothing wrong with that, amen. Make sure that you know that you've been born again, washed in the blood. I know a man up in the church in Michigan where I've preached, a pastor, I've preached up there for 31 years in this little church. Every year for 31 years I've preached meetings there. I go back there and preach messages I preached 31 years ago, and now they're older and people forget what they heard then, amen. So, but 31 years I've been preaching there. And a fellow told me up there probably about 16, maybe 18 years ago, he was telling me, he said, I got to questioning one day when my pastor was preaching my salvation. So he said, I got down, he said, at home, and he said, I prayed, and I made sure I was saved. And I just asked Jesus Christ, Lord, if I'm not saved, save me right now. I want to make sure. He said, I've had the peace of God ever since that time. That Kurt, Jenny, up there. And Kurt came about 5 years later, three years later. Kurt was teaching his young boys downstairs in the church, pastor. He was teaching them about baptism, salvation and baptism, that when you get saved, you need to be baptized. Amen. It's the first order of obedience for a born-again believer to get baptized. I remember when Zach was baptized down here in the water. You remember that, Zach, when you got baptized down there in the lake? You do? You remember swimming afterwards? You love that water down there, man. He just took right off. He was baptized, preached, let him go. We're praying. We look up. Next thing I see, Zach's up there swimming in the water, you know, just having a ball. Amen. It's a pastor, but this guy, he said, I was teaching my young men about baptism. And he said, see, I made sure I was saved. But he says, I was telling them that once you get saved, you need to be baptized. So truly, if my salvation was at home and not the last time, you know, when I first thought I got saved and I didn't, he said, my baptism, then I need to be baptized again. So he went to his pastor and he told his pastor, Pastor, I just need to be baptized. He said, what do you mean? You've been baptized before. Yeah, I have a preacher. This is what happened. Well, why didn't you tell me? Well, maybe I guess I was a little embarrassed. Amen. I think that happens sometimes to people. But you need to make sure. Embarrassment ought to have nothing to do with you making sure that you're saved. Just make sure. Get it settled. Get it once and for all. Amen. Know for sure that you have eternal life. Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Examine yourselves whether your relationship with God is what it ought to be. Well, then examination. Go back to Jeremiah chapter 6 with me. Verse 16, thus saith the Lord, stand in a ways and see, and ask for the old past. In a way and see, and ask. That's prayer. You know, you can examine yourself. And how many of you do a self-examination when you begin to get sick? You know, my son-in-law, Matthew, Danny's husband, our youngest daughter, her husband, he was, having some difficulties, and he's not a hypochondriac, but my wife just raised her eyebrows. Maybe he is, but she said a little bit, you know. But it seemed like every time you sat around something, you start talking about something. Oh, he thought he was having some heart problems, you know. And so I took him to the hospital, and And then Danny met us up there later on, you know, took him up to the hospital. He's in the emergency room. I'll never forget it. In the side room, and the doctor comes in and is talking to him. And he's saying, this is what's going on, and this is what's going on, and this is an indication of this is happening. She says, young man, can I ask you a question? He says, what? She says, you've been on the internet looking up WebMD, haven't you? And he said, yes. She said, stop that. Amen. There's nothing wrong with you, you know. I mean, it's the funniest thing in the world. I got a kick. I've laughed about that ever since. Amen. Stop that, you know. So it was funny. The nurse told him that, or doctor said, that's enough of that. No WebMD for you, amen. And what a character that was. But prayer, when you have a problem, you try to go to the proper person, amen. And so he says here, he says, stand and wait to see. When you have been examined yourself and you've seen what's wrong, he said, well, then we have to go in prayer. He said, and ask for the old paths. Ask for the old paths. Let's see. You know what? We don't ask for the old paths anymore because we know the old paths are going to change your life. The old paths are going to make a difference. Not this newfangled stuff. Not what's being taught in churches. A lot of churches around America today, Pastor. It used to be just about every Baptist church in America at one time, other than maybe your Northern Baptist or American Baptist back many years ago, you know, that were strong at one time. And maybe that, and even the Southern Baptists took a good stand at one time in many things, you know. But most of your independent Baptist churches, they stood on the right stuff. They stood on the hard line stuff. They stood on the things that made a difference in people's lives. And today you can go to 10 different independent Baptist churches and pastors. If you don't know the preachers, you can go to this church here and this one over here, and every one of them has something different, and sometimes even a little bit difference in doctrine. How sad that is. Let's get back to the old paths. Let's ask God and seek His face. Not every church in America is like this church here. Amen. Praise the Lord. Not every church in America is like this. I mean that in a positive way, not a negative, Brother Dave. Amen. Not every church is like this one. Praise the Lord. Bless your heart. Amen. No, that's not what I'm talking about. But not every church is like this church. A good church, a solid church that has the right doctrine, gets the right teaching, gets the right preaching, gets the right emphasis on prayer and study, and gets the right emphasis on the things of the Word of God that mean something. Not every church is like that. But we need, when we come to a place in our lives, the children of God, and God, and we've examined ourselves, we now need to take it to the Lord. We need to go to Him in prayer. Pray without ceasing, He tells you and I. And everything give thanks, for this is the will of God. And everything giving thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you, He says in 1 Thessalonians 5:17-18. He tells us what we ought to do. Come to Him, seek His face. Luke 18:1, and He speak a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Don't give up. Amen. Don't give up. You say, oh, I prayed about that for so long. I'm sick and tired of praying about it. Don't give up. Don't quit. Amen. Just don't stop. Just continue on in prayer. You don't know what God's going to do. God might not answer that prayer until you're out of this world. Amen. And it might take that to get that prayer answered for somebody. You never know. I don't know. I hope that's not the case. People just need to get things right with God as the children of God. In Romans 12:12, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Now, I don't recommend Tracy, when you were coming to church tonight, I don't recommend that you would close your eyes while you were driving, amen, and pray at the same time. I mean, maybe it would work. I don't know. I can just see Deb there grabbing that steering wheel, opening up the door and shoving you out on the pavement and going on herself. I don't know.
Please don't give her any idea.
Well, I'm trying to help, sister. What can I say? Amen. So I'm just saying, you know, it's not what he's talking about. It means that, boy, you have that attitude of prayer all the time in your life as a believer in Jesus Christ. That attitude of prayer for you and that attitude of prayer for me. 1 Peter 4:7 says, but to the end of all things, at the end of all things at hand, be therefore sober and watch unto prayer. Watch, he says, unto prayer. Take that time, make that time happen in your life as a believer in Jesus Christ. Now back to the text with me again, the book of Jeremiah, chapter 6, and We get the third thought here. He said, thus saith the Lord, stand in the ways and see. That's examination. That's for the old paths. That's prayer. He says, where is the good way? Where is the good way? Now watch this. He said, that's the good way. The old paths are the good way. And walk therein. And walk therein. That means our action. Now that you've examined yourself, and now that you've taken it to the Lord in prayer, he says, now there has to be an action in your life. There should be something that will show what took place. Something that happened, amen. Something that shows a difference. And so now you don't just when you go to the doctor, you examine yourself, know there's a problem, you go to the doctor, you tell them all about it, and then he says, well, now do this, you don't do anything about it, you don't take any action. How many of you guys in here, and usually it's men who do it more than the ladies, maybe some of you ladies have done this too, and your doctor gives you some medication, and he says, take this until it's gone. Amen. How many of you have heard that before? Now, how many of us really take it until it's gone? Anybody want to admit that? You know? Yeah. Bill does. I don't know if you did that your whole life, but you do it now, don't you? Amen. Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, we don't always do that. We always don't follow the complete prescription. Well, we do that with the Lord. The Lord, we examine ourselves and we go to Him in prayer. He said, this is what you need to do. And we get half-hearted in it, preacher. We do it halfway. We do it a little bit. We might do it for a short time. We might do it until we get tired of doing it and say, you know, it's not working. If you do it God's way, I don't care how long it takes, Pastor, it will always work. If we just do it God's way, amen. Don't do it your way. Do it God's way. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 with me in your Bibles. The book of 1 Corinthians and chapter 6. Over 1 Corinthians and chapter 6, he makes this statement. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and down to verse 9. He says this, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Now he's dealing with some things here, dealing with what they've been going, brother going to law, brother to brother over the law, and many different things. And nay, ye do wrong, and they're fraud, and that your brethren, and know ye not, he said to them, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. He said, don't be deceived. He says, not just those who are unrighteous, but those who think they're all right and they're not all right, amen. So he said, be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves of mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor revilers, or no drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortionists shall inherit the kingdom of God. And they said, and such were, and that's past tense. And I don't know a whole lot about the English language. You hear me preach, you find that out real quick, amen. I'm about like that girl you got in your class there, brother. Amen. I hear bells all the time going off. Just kidding. Amen. So as you look at this, he says, and such were some of you. But then he makes a statement, but ye are washed. There's a difference. Amen. You've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. He said, but ye are justified. You're justified through Jesus Christ and what he's accomplished for you upon the cross of Calvary. Then he says in the same text, he says, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Don't be deceived. He said, you do these things also. And he says, you're hard on these over here, but look what you've done. And he says, don't be deceived. They're not going to inherit the kingdom of God, and neither are you, if this is where you're at. He's not saying that it's their works to keep them out of heaven and put them in hell. He's saying, you're saying this, and this person's wicked here. And this, he says, you need to be saved just like they need to be saved, regardless of what they have done. That's why a murderer in prison who's killed his whole family can get born again, saved by the very grace of God, and go to heaven. And that's why a pedophile over here who's offended so many children can get saved and go to heaven. Amen. And that's why you and I can get saved and go to heaven. Why? Because of the grace of a holy, righteous, pure God. He says in Ephesians 5:8, for ye were sometimes darkness. Ye were. Sometimes. He didn't say some of you were sometimes. He said ye were. He tells the church in Ephesus, this church of Gentile believers, ye were sometimes darkness. But now are ye light So in the Lord, walk as children of light. So now we're told to walk as children of light. We are to be different, as we heard in the morning service. Amen. There needs to be an action that is taken in our life as the children of God. Something that's different about you and me. Something that shows people that we know Jesus Christ is our personal Savior. So we need to examine ourselves. Then we need to go to the Lord about that. When we find something that's not where it ought to be in our life, take that to Jesus. Amen. Go to Him. Get those things settled with Him. And then there ought to be some action that you take. Some doing, you know, he said, work out your own salvation. Has nothing to do with getting saved, has nothing to do with keeping saved, but has everything to do with how we live after we get saved. Amen. And that's the action in our life. Let's live the right life. Let's live the consistent life with Jesus Christ. And then look with me, if you will, back in the text again, not just the action, but we look here, and not just the examination, and not just the prayer, not just the action, but look what happens here. I want to show you as we look down here. He says, therefore they, thus saith the Lord, stand your ways and see it. As for the Ophaz, where is a good way, and walk therein. Watch this. Now here's the result of revival. All right, the deliverance. Watch this. What happens? He said, ye shall find rest for your souls. Now he gives them a promise. He said, if you examine, he said, if you pray, and if you take the action and do what's right, he said, you will find rest for your souls. Sometimes, I think, Pastor, we have the idea that soul rest is only in heaven. Amen. You shall find rest for your soul. I tell you, when you're in turmoil over something that's not right in your life, you find it hard to rest. Amen. You just had a spat with your wife or with your husband or with your children or something, you know, and you rest well when that happens? No, you don't. I had one guy said, well, I do. Well, you know what? That's good. He probably ain't right with God. Amen. I'm careful when I say that. But you shouldn't rest well if you're at odds with, if you're at odds with the pastor of the church, if you're at odds with somebody in the church. I pray you don't get good rest, amen, until you get that thing settled, amen. That thing needs, because if not, it'll destroy the house of God. If not, it'll destroy your marriage. If not, it'll destroy the family. It'll destroy the children. It'll destroy the parents. We need to make sure that things are right with people as believers in Jesus Christ. This rest that we ought to have as a child of God. Isaiah 28:12 says, to whom he said, this is the rest, this is wherewith the this is the rest wherewith ye may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing, yet they would not hear. Even in Isaiah, he said, if you do these things, here's what's going to happen. You're going to have the refreshing, you're going to have the rest. And he said, we will not, we're not going to do that. So they would not hear what he had to say. In John chapter 1, verse 5, he says, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. Amen. His word is not hard for you to keep. We can have rest. He makes it so easy for us to live the Christian life. Here's what he tells you and I. It's your Christian life is not based on how well you do in life. Your Christian life is based on him. Amen. Your Christian life is based on what he wants to do and how he wants to do it. He wants us to move out of the way. He wants us just to be obedient to him and follow him and do what's right as a child of God. Look at Philippians chapter 4 with me. Over there, Philippians chapter 4. What was it, his brother Dave said this morning? That's chapter 4 here is between chapter 3 and chapter 5. Amen. I don't know if we could ever figure that out without you, brother. Just saying, you know. Philippians chapter 4. I think these are the verses. That one verse, Pastor. I know you probably never written anything down that you when you got there it wasn't it, was it? I hear a chuckle. In fact, I think I heard a couple chuckles here. Amen. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 through verse 7, he said, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known be made known unto God. That, the idea of careful for nothing there is, don't worry about it. Just let your request be known. In verse 7, it says, and the peace of God. Boy, isn't that good to have the peace of God. And the peace of God which passeth all understanding. The world doesn't understand it, amen? The world doesn't understand how you can have the peace of God in your life. They don't understand how when they're going through a turmoil and you go through the same thing, it tears them up and puts them in nut houses and puts needles in their arms and puts ropes around their neck. They don't understand how that doesn't do that to you. They don't understand how you get, and you go through the same thing they're going through, and you're going through it with a smile on your face, amen. Or you're going through it and you say, man, that was a rough one there. God help me because I don't know what else to do, amen. And they don't understand how you can rely on someone who they cannot see, but you know is there. You don't see him either, but you saw him in your heart as Jesus Christ, the Son, high and lifted up, amen, and called upon him to forgive you for your sin. Well, I tell you, that's my God, amen. He says in verse 7, the rest of verse 7, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I don't know about you, but I want that peace of God in my life as a child of God, amen. Now look at the next thought with me, if you will. Let's go back to our text in Jeremiah chapter 6. We don't just see only examination and prayer and action and then the peace that we have through deliverance. But also, he says here, listen. Listen. Watch what happens. He said, and also I set watchmen over you. Now, what were the watchmen? The watchmen were on top of the walls around the city. And the watchmen were watching for the enemy to come. And that's what their job was. And if they would see the enemy afar off, they would blow the trumpet, and then it would warn the people. I'm assuming that there were certain sounds, Pastor. I don't think it was the same sound for everything, amen. A certain sound to call for the people from outside to come into the city behind the walls to be protected. And I think that's probably how it was. And so they would sound the trumpet, and then the people would come. And so he says, listen, and the watchman, if you take the most limited term of the watchman, most limited, I believe, would be today's society, would be our pastors, amen, the pastor. And then I think if you broaden that out a little bit, you've got the missionaries and the evangelists, and you broaden out a little bit farther, and it's probably pastors and teachers, you know, in the church, and then missionaries and evangelists, and you broaden that out a little bit farther, even more. And guess what? It's every born again believer is to be a watchman. Every born-again believer is to be a watchman for those who are around them, to be there to help them when they see danger coming, to warn them about things that are happening and things that are going on. And so he makes a statement again in verse 17. Also I set watchmen over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. Hearken to the sound of the trumpet. And so the watchman today stands in the pulpit, and this is the trumpet. He sounds out the very word of God. And he shouts the warnings, and he shouts, listen, if you don't listen to this, here's what's going to happen. If you don't be obedient to this, this is what's going to happen. I tell you, you counsel, Pastor, I know you've counseled with people, and I've counseled with people, amen, over the years. And I had a lady when I was pastoring came to me in the church where I was pastoring up in Michigan back 30, long time ago, amen, over 30 years ago. And she came up to me. And I had my Bible in my hand. I resigned there in 88 when I went into evangelism. She came up to me and I had my Bible in my hand like this, standing by my office door. And she says, you know why we don't come to you for counseling? Well, what I wanted to say was, yeah, I know why, because you're wicked, amen. That's what I wanted to say, amen. I didn't say that. Maybe I should have, but I didn't. I said, no, why? And she said, because every time we ask you a question, you take us as you post my Bible to that. I thought that's what we were supposed to do, amen. You know what she was saying? She didn't want to listen to what the Word of God said. She wanted her own way, in her own time, but not the way of the Lord. Guess what? That woman ain't got no peace. She had no peace in her life. I don't care how good she dressed. I don't care how well she thought. I don't care what she knew about the Bible. There's no peace. Why? Because she's not following the way of the Lord. And what she's saying there is, you give them biblical counsel, amen. You give them counsel, biblical counsel, and people sometimes they don't want it. They want you to agree with them. They want you to give them something to make them feel good, but they don't want the Word of God. They don't care what the Bible says, and so they're just no different than what Israel was here when he said, "Also I set watchmen over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet." They said, "We will not hearken. You tell us all you want, but we're not going to listen. You can shout at preacher all you want, but we don't care. It doesn't matter what you say." I had somebody one time in a church in North Carolina. I was there with the pastor, and the pastor. There was only just a handful, 15 or 20 people in the church. And the pastor took the church. This man became the interim pastor of this church, and brought the church. It was running about 75 or 80 people. By the time I got down there to do meetings for him, and he was still the interim pastor, and he said, "We're going to take a vote. We're going to take a vote here in a couple of weeks. It's going to be just a short time after I had left there from the meetings." He said, "We're going to take a vote, Brother Mike," and he said, "They're going to take a vote if they want me as their pastor or not." Well, my thought is, good night, he's been here long enough now, they ain't going to have a problem with that, amen. And he's led all these people to the Lord, all these new people to the Lord, and brought many of them into the membership of the church, pastor. And so now there were more new people than the old people, amen. I mean, not talking about age old, I'm talking about those who've been in the church. And so the old deacons came to him and said, "We're not going to do it. It doesn't matter what they say. It doesn't matter what, their vote does not count. And if we don't want you, we're not keeping you." And boy, how sad, amen. And these folks are new members of the church, born again, saved by the grace of God. And here's what the deacon said. "We know what the Bible teaches. We know what the Bible says. But we're going to do it our way." That's exactly what the guy said to the pastor. How sad. How sad. And that church is no longer in existence today. Beautiful building. Beautiful parsonage out back. Beautiful fellowship hall. And it's gone. And the pastor went up the road in Hall River, North Carolina, and started another church with the people who he had led to the Lord. Amen. In fact, the next week he resigned. He said, "Oh, I'm gone." He didn't leave, pastor, with the idea, "I'm going to take all these people and start a church." When he left, that next Monday or Tuesday, people started calling him on the phone and saying, "Pastor, start us a church. Start us a church. Start us a church." The next weekend, they met in a public park in town and held a church service meeting to organize a church. Amen. And then they bought a little factory, an old sock factory, and turned it into a church building. Amen. I tell you what. Well, here's people who said, "We don't care what the Bible says." And listen, anytime the Word of God speaks to your heart, and you don't do something about it, you're no different than what they are. You're saying, "We don't care." I hope you care, amen. Because I don't know about you, but we need revival. I don't know about you, but I need revival. It's a daily thing. I don't just need revival once a year when I hear somebody else preach, pastor. I need revival continually as a believer in Jesus Christ. And there's many times I'm not seeking it. Amen. I'm being honest with you. Many times. But I don't know about you, but I need it. Amen. Let's have our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Listen to what he says to you in his word. This is the beginning of the week. 5 nights left. Are you willing to ask God to speak to you this week? Willing to ask God to help you? Willing to ask God to work in your life and work in your heart and move in your lives? You willing to ask God to do that? If you're willing to ask God, why don't you just slip out of your seat right now? How about it? You slip out. You're willing to ask God that to help you this week and to show you? God bless you. God bless you, folks. Amen. You come. You just come. Ask God. Ask God. Tell Him you want His will. You want His way. I believe this is why this church works, pastor, because you've got people that will come and pray. I believe that. This is why this church works. This is why it's still going on here in Dresden. Ask God to help you this week. Help you this week through the messages, through His Word. And it's not that I have anything different to say. It's that you want God's will in your life. Just ask Him, Father, I thank You now, Father, for these Your children. Ask that You help them mightily, dear Lord, please, and strengthen them, God, and cause them to see Your way for their lives, Heavenly Father. Every one of us, Father, we can hear the same sermon and get something different out of it. 1,000 people can hear the same sermon, Father, and get 1,000 different things out of it, dear Lord. I ask, God, that You'd have Your will and Your way accomplished this week. In Christ's name, heads bowed, eyes closed. Maybe this evening you're in here and you don't know Christ. I know this group in here tonight. I pray that you know Jesus as your Savior. But I would feel neglect if I would not ask, if you're not sure of your salvation, could I pray for you? Is there anybody like that right now? Wouldn't I raise hand and say, Mike, I'm just not sure of my eternal salvation. Could you just pray for me? Pray for me tonight. I would do that. I would count a privilege to do that. I don't see any hands. Father, I thank You now in Jesus' name for what You've done here tonight. Thank You for these people. Thank You for Pastor, and thank You for this church, dear Lord. And Father, they've stuck by it all these years. Help them to be an encouragement one to another, Father, as they show forth Your love. We'll give You the praise and thanks in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen. 57 in your hymnal. Let's sing that again. Search me, O God, and know my heart today.